This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
With your bright yellow gun, you own the sun.
That's Kristen Hirsch of the band Throwing Muses. Hirsch doesn't only sing, she's also written a book. And she's just one musician turned writer who'll be on a panel about music and writing at this weekend's second annual Boston Book Festival. And then there's the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. Nick Zinner, who was born in Sharon, Mass., is the guitarist for the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. He's also a prolific photographer, and he'll be on that book festival panel too. He'll be showing his photos on a big screen and providing accompaniment on his guitar. The panel will feature other local authors, local musicians, and songs about local neighborhoods.
I'm gonna take a lover, gonna take her back to Somerville, show around the neighborhood, recase the place and settle down. Gonna take a lover, gonna take her back to Somerville, don't care if she's pretty as we leave Suck City.
That's the Pernice Brothers playing Somerville. And joining us now in the studio is Joe Pernice of the Pernice Brothers. Joe is also the author of his most recent book, It Feels So Good When I Stop. That book has an accompanying soundtrack on CD. Welcome to Radio Boston, Joe.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Also with us is Steve Almond, a blogger, a music journalist, and an author. His most recent book is Rock and Roll Will Save Your Life. Thanks for being here, Steve.
Sure.
Joe and Steve, there is actually a category of book now called rock fiction. It's basically become its own genre. I'm wondering how the two of you define rock fiction. Do you even think it is a genre? Does it have its own language? How do you define it?
You go.
So Steve Almond first.
Okay. Sure, because I have no good answer for that, Joe. Thanks. That's terrific.
I just used my pass.
I think part of what I would say is that I've read all the books of the musicians who are going to be doing this great show tomorrow night. And I should mention, it's going to be a show that's got lots of reading, but also lots of music. So it's not just going to be a reading or a panel. It's going to be like a rocking evening. But I think a lot of, you know, of the books that I've read, they're mostly tend to be about the music industry and what it sort of demystifying the rock and roll experience, which I think people carry. I know I, as an obsessive, nerdy, dorky fan, carry in a lot of misconceptions about how thrilling and awesome and ecstatic it must be to be a rock star. And in fact, it's like being any other kind of artist. You are spending a lot of time bored, trying to fill the hours. You're lonely. It's difficult if you're trying to form long-term relationships. You're probably pretty depressed. Joe, pick up here. I'm giving you the entree.
Did you just give him my biography or what? Are you reading my one sheet?
Joe Pernice, how would you define rock fiction?
I have no idea, to be honest with you. I don't like writing about the music industry. I find it kind of a little bit of a snore because that's what I do. I really don't know. I don't know if there is such a genre.
Joe, you formed a band in Northampton called the Scud Mountain Boys back in 1991. So you've been playing music for a good amount of time. And now you're a writer, too. Do you think that to write about music in any authentic way, you have to be a musician?
No, definitely not. I don't think so. No. If you're trying to write... a piece of fiction where you are a musician, I mean, you probably have an edge if you were one. But if you're just, you know, people love music. How can, you know, if you respond to music and you have any talent as a writer, go for it.
Yeah. Well, Steve Almond.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. I feel slightly redeemed.
So, because Steve Almond, you're not a professional musician, although you are a music journalist.
Music journalist is really stretching it. I'm like a dorky, obsessive fan of music, like 99% of the people out there. I just love it. And I think, actually, what music does in a certain way is, songs are like emotional transport devices. You kind of organize your life around particular songs because they come to represent certain eras in your life. And I think it's really great and wonderful to write about that. I think music gives people access to the emotional turmoil that they're feeling that is in any good piece of writing. I think it's really tough to write about music itself and convey through the use of precise technical details what it feels like to hear a song. I think that's virtually impossible. Probably the best person who's done that ever in the history of writing that I know of is F. Scott Fitzgerald in The Great Gatsby. He's got an incredibly beautiful passage where he describes jazz, the sort of sad trumpets pushing these dancers around the floor, and you just think, wow. But that's one of the few examples I can think of where I get where describing the music itself is done in in an evocative way. That's really tough. It's dancing about architecture, basically.
I don't think in the two books I've written, I don't believe I've even tried to describe the music. I think I've attached songs to particular scenes in a book where I'm expecting my reader to understand what it means to hear this particular song at a particular time. And in a way, it's kind of a cheap tactic. In a way, it's like a built-in emotion maker.
So, Joe, you just referenced attaching songs to a particular scene in your book. So you basically created a music playlist for the book you wrote. And that's, it's beginning to be a little bit of a trend in the music world. Of course, you did it before, really earlier than many people were doing it. So basically,
they all copied you. Joe.
So, Joe, you basically created your own soundtrack to go along with your novel called It Feels So Good When I Stop. Let's listen to one of those tracks that you paired with the book. And this is a track that starts with a short snippet from your novel.
I couldn't stop singing the line, "What's so bad about dying?" from the plush tune, "Found a Little Baby." It was driving Jocelyn crazy. "Thanks," she said without looking up from her harpers. "I used to like that song."
Though I sleep, I see it all then. Make my bed to live again. What's bad about dying?
Joe Pernice, why do that? Why take something you've written and retroactively set it to music?
It just came to me. I was halfway through my book, and music obviously is a big part of my life. And I wasn't planning on making a record to go along with it. And then it just came to me. Why not just make a document of these songs? I put them in the book because they did mean a lot to me. So it's kind of another way of putting my thumbprint on the work, right? But I wasn't planning on making a record. In fact, I'm not big on covers. I've done a handful of covers here and there, and this was kind of like the backdoor way into making a cover record.
Steve Almond, there's a music blog called Large Hearted Boy,
yep.
And it asks authors to create playlists for books they've already written. Mm-hmm. What do you think the purpose is? Are we trying to get to know the authors in a different way by hearing what music they would set to their words?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fascinating, but it's a little inside baseball. Like, you got to be really into an author to sort of try to figure out what kind of music they might listen to. And I think it's interesting, but I'm more interested in, as somebody who's just written this book, you know, Rock and Roll Will Save Your Life, I put a soundtrack on my website so that people could hear the musicians I was talking about because they're so obscure. But I think the real challenge when you're writing about music is to figure out how to make somebody feel even a fraction of what Joe would feel when he would hear Todd Rundgren or, you know, some other artist who doesn't just have a passing relationship to. He has a complicated emotional relationship to that sort of kind of tells a little bit, at least the story of a part of his life. So that's the tough thing to do. And to sort of find out what an author likes to listen to is, it's interesting in a People magazine kind of way, but it's not the same as trying to figure out how do you really write about music in a way that makes people feel what they feel, or at least a little bit of what they feel when they listen to music.
Joe Pernice and Steve Almond, are there any books that come to your minds that you think are just ripe for having a soundtrack set to them?
The Grapes of Wrath.
But it ain't my mind. Travels with Charlie.
You know, On the Road. Part of what I write about in Rock and Roll Will Save Your Life is the fact that good writers are always aspiring. Good writing always aspires to a musical condition. It is always absorbed with rhythm and with a kind of reaching into an emotional realm through the language, through the poetry of the language, the euphony, the way the words sound together, that aspires to song, you know, like the Iliad, sing, you know, that's what Homer wants us to do, and that's what he was doing when he was telling that story. We now, in the last 500 years, have separated the oral tradition from the written tradition, but in fact, all storytelling used to be, in a sense, kind of a form of song. So that's where I think when it's the best, it returns to. So something like On the Road, that's a total power solo. I mean, when he goes off on those long riffs about the United, you know, about traveling across the country, you can just hear, you know, beautiful, expansive music kind of fleshing that out, for me anyway.
Several collaborations are now happening between authors and musicians. One of them is between Nick Hornby, who wrote High Fidelity and several other books. He's teamed up with singer-songwriter Ben Folds on a new album. Hornby writes the words, Fold does the music. The album is called Lonely Avenue, and here's a song from that album.
They even looked at each other once across a crowded bar. He was with Martha, she was with Tom. Neither of them really knew what was going on. A strange feeling of never, heartbeats becoming synchronized, staying that way forever.
Joe Panisse, other than just a new piece of music that some people may like and not like, do we get anything from that, sort of a high-octane writer pairing up with a singer?
It sounded like, you know, I could just imagine reading Nick Hornby while I was listening to that.
Ah.
I'd have to hear the whole thing to comment on whether it had the kick.
And Steve Almond, do you think there's something that works particularly well about a writer pairing up with a musician in that way?
You know, I think the musician's just doing the writer a big, huge favor. You know, I mean, just to be honest with you, I think all writers, yeah, we have to go off in our little rooms and write and hope that somehow it reaches somebody. It's very different than a musician's, or at least our images of a musician's life, where you're just putting it across and people can shake their tushy to it. So I think, you know, I'm sure it's a great song, but Ben Folds is a great lyricist in his own right, as is Joe Pernice or any of the other musicians I love. They're, you know, great writers. They don't need to pair up with a good writer, but if they want to throw us a bone, we'll take it.
I think that's a bone.
Yeah.
I think that's a bone.
I want to go back to rock fiction for a minute. There's a book critic for NPR, Michael Schlob, who says, it's easy to write about rock. It's nearly impossible to write well about rock. When do the two of you think that rock novels fail?
Wow. I mean, they never fail. They never fail in part because people are so... people so love music. It doesn't matter what genre. You know, there's people out there who adore Menudo. There's people who adore 80s hair metal. That's their thing. And I think a certain kind of bad rock novel, or, you know, I might judge it to be a bad rock novel, and there'd be somebody else who'd be like, that's awesome, man. That's the Winger. That's the Queensryche of novels.
And if you're just looking for behind the scenes, you know, anecdotes, things that, you know, things that might have happened to people in a band. I mean, that can all be very interesting. If you're talking about conveying what the music is like, I think it's impossible in every case.
In terms of the details, many writers, before they write anything, even if it's fiction, they do a ton of research to make sure they know what they're writing about. If you're writing about King Arthur's court, you study the 13th century. Are there any details about music that you think, if you get wrong, you're just doomed? That if you don't get this right, then you've just lost all authenticity?
I used to be a music critic, in a past life, and I was so clueless. You know, if somebody had made me define glissando, I would be like, that's fancy Italian ice cream. Everybody knows that. You know, I had no idea, no technical training at all. And I did just fine in the world of rock criticism. I don't think with writing about music in a literary way, you're concerned with people's emotions, and that's always a collaborative experience. It's what the fan brings to the song, their particular hopes and needs and desires and, you know, crazy, and whatever that song triggers inside them. It's not really a matter of being technically knowing. That being said, you know, if you identify somebody playing the wrong instrument, the reader's pulled out of the dream and you sound like a dope, as they were many times reading my reviews.
Joe Pernice?
Well, I'd agree with Steve, but I don't know. I think when you describe musicians as, you know, they're wholly these, almost not human beings. Like, you know, everyone's just a regular guy. Even if you have a hit record, you're just still, you know, you're still a regular person. You might, you know, have an interesting extracurricular life, but you're still just a regular person. To make these people seem like gods or whatever, it's just crazy.
Yeah, he's speaking for personal experience.
Oh, of course.
Thanks to both of you.
Thanks.
Joe Pernice is author, and he's the mastermind behind the Pernice Brothers. He's also the author of the book and soundtrack, It Feels So Good When I Stop. Joe, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And Steve Almond is a blogger, he's a journalist, he's an author. His most recent book is Rock and Roll Will Save Your Life. Steve, thanks to you, too.
Sure.
You can catch both Steve Almond and Joe Pernice this Saturday night at the Boston Book Festival. And you can check out Only a Game's Bill Littlefield, who's moderating a panel discussion on writing about baseball. He's one of several BUR hosts who will be appearing at the festival. For more details about the book festival, go to WBUR.org and click on events. WBUR produces Radio Boston with contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again next week for more Radio Boston.